Welcome to Gender Forking,
Twilight Saga podcast. Today we have read chapters 21 and 22 of Eclipse.
Yeah.
I'm going to be upfront. It was a terrible time.
No, I mean, like, I had a good time.
Like, it was, like, it was fun because, like, I was like, wow, there's going to be so much to talk about. But, like, it was, I was like, this is not great.
I think you said this to me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We, like, very rarely talk about Twilight not on the podcast, but we were answering some questions for, like,
an interview. Yeah.
That had to do about Twilight. And Sam said, I think Bella is, like, a contender for favorite character because when Bella's not there, it means the book's from someone else's perspective.
Mm.
And in this section, we have not from someone else's perspective, but Bella's in, like, a half-asleep state hearing a conversation.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
That she's not a part of, and it tanks.
Yeah, like, it really tanks. Does. I was disappointed, actually.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
It's so much better when she's there. There's, like, someone to challenge the way that people talk about her when she's not there.
Yeah. So important to be in control of your own narrative. I have so much to say about this section. I feel like it's gonna be
a long one.
Long, yep. And also there's some stuff that we wanted to talk about before we dive in.
Yep. Shall we swap drinks?
Yeah, sure.
It's a mystery drink. What could it be?
5 minutes ago, Lori told me it was water. So.
I just don't have any other thing in my house.
Yeah.
Not a single thing.
There's a pretty limited amount of drinks in the world. This is, like, nice cold water, though.
Thank you. I just put some fresh ice in there.
Thanks. Here you go. Here's the drink.
Okay. Oh. I was expecting it to be hot.
Oh, because it's in a mug?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I wanted tea. Something opaque.
It looks like it's not clear all the way. Or it's dark. You're going to be like, it's apple juice.
You're close.
It's apple cider.
It is.
That's so funny. I had thought, wow, that is apple juice.
It's great.
Yeah.
Happy October.
That's so funny. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is this liquid?
It is autumn. It is October.
Happy fall.
October of October, November, December, January fame, if you will.
Yeah.
Ever heard of it?
We've really officially entered the best part of the year.
Yeah. Okay, so a few weeks ago, we don't really know if this is still news, but
I didn't want to talk about it initially.
Yeah, because there was, like, some hype happening, and it was like, is this really anything? There's always, like, TikTok rumors about Twilight-adjacent stuff, and it's almost never true.
Right, so the rumor was, so there's this book that came out called Corinne. It's written by someone under the pen name Rebecca Morrow, who is described as a famous author who was a part of some fundamentalist religion and cannot publish this book that has commentary on fundamentalism and, like, fundamentalist cults and sects.
And, like, leaving
the
church.
And, like, deconstructing.
Yeah.
Evangelicalism, fundamentalism, etc.
Yeah.
Like, was like, I can't actually write that under my name.
Yeah.
For, like, safety reasons, family reasons, whatever, something like that. And immediately people were like, it must be Stephanie Meyer.
And maybe we already said this. This is somebody who, like, has identified themselves as a famous author already, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, I am a famous writer, but I can't use my real name to talk about this.
A New York Times bestseller, which doesn't mean a ton if you know anything about the New York Times bestseller list.
Yes.
A lot of books make it on it.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that, like, it's a, maybe, like, even a household name kind of book, but they are a New York Times bestselling author. People have a lot of different theories. I don't read enough to, like, have an opinion of who I think it is, but I do feel strongly that it's not Stephanie Meyer.
I really don't think there's a chance that it's her. I haven't read any segments of the book. People have done that to be like, oh, I've read her Twilight stuff enough that, like, I can tell if it's her writing, which, like, first of all, Twilight is pretty old, so you'd have to really look at, like, a contemporary example of her writing to compare, I think. My understanding of Stephanie Meyer, and she's a pretty private person, my understanding is that she was not part of, like, a fundamentalist faction at all, and that she still, like, as far as we know, does, like, practice Mormonism.
Yeah, and there are people who would argue that Mormonism as a whole is fundamentalist.
Yeah.
But I would not say that's, like, the dominant argument.
Okay.
And also, I think, first of all, she still practices, and also, there's been, like, no hint that there's been any shift in the way that she thinks.
Yeah, I mean, she just wrote Midnight Sun, and it, like, it's...
She just wrote it.
It's not, no different. There's no critique there.
No,
there's nothing to suggest that she would have changed her mind about her perspective on her own story, and, like, I think we were also just talking yesterday about how she has cited Mormonism as her biggest influence.
Yeah.
And although she's also said that she doesn't like it when people ask her about that.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think that she has it in her to turn around and like, create this whole, like, critique of Mormonism and then also, like, come out and like, share it.
I don't know her life.
Yeah.
Her family life. I think that she has a lot of money. She has a lot of powerful connections in, like, the literary world. And, like, if she felt like she wanted to leave Mormonism, she could do it publicly without having to suffer ramifications for it.
I wonder if the ramifications would be more, wouldn't be about from the church, though. If, like, I mean, I don't think it was her, but, like,
yeah.
I feel like the ramifications would come from people being, like, she's very private and, like...
She probably just doesn't want to talk about it.
Probably doesn't want to talk about it or, like, answer questions about it in relation to, like, her other work or anything like that, if that were the case.
Yeah, that's true. I just feel like people want it to be Stephenie Meyer so bad because they want to reconcile their enjoyment of Twilight with who she is as a person.
Yeah.
And I understand that tendency, but if Stephenie Meyer magically wasn't Mormon, she would still be racist.
Yeah, there's so much wrong here.
And other, and et cetera.
Yeah.
Like,
it goes on and on.
I don't know. It's just, like, I understand why people are wanting to read it that she is trying to depart from her ways, but it's like, even if that happened, like,
there'd be hell to pay. Like, I'd be the one causing backlash.
Absolutely. I would be like, because, you know, that I mean, like, I don't know, I just feel like she honestly has more to gain from leaving Mormonism than she does to lose, like, honestly, like,
yeah,
because I think that if she chose to do that, like, she could really spin it in a way that, like, made a lot of people who are not necessarily comfortable with where Twilight is, but not necessarily deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think that it would make a lot of those people be like, oh, it's fine.
I don't feel very, like, tapped into that group of people.
Yeah.
I'm not exposed to it. My perception is that people who listen to this podcast, like, don't have that tendency, or at least, like, the ones that we're interacting with don't, so I just don't know. If you're listening to this and you feel that way, let me know your thoughts, but, because, like, I don't see it, and, like, it just wouldn't be, like, I don't even hold out hope that, like, that's something that is even possible, like, that would happen, or it's possible, and, like, it wouldn't do anything for me either as, like, somebody who has read these books and, you know, get some level of enjoyment out of them. It wouldn't do much for me for her to make that change.
No, it's like, if that change wasn't accompanied by, like, some real big other conversations that I don't think she's willing to engage in, I don't think that would do anything. Mm. And, like, I am interested in reading this book, but also, like, I don't know. I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can read it. But I'm interested in reading it, but I'm also just kind of like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I have been really enjoying, and I may have said this on the podcast before, but I have been really enjoying Rhett and Link, the people behind Good Mythical Morning, did this really in-depth, like, series of episodes on their deconstruction from evangelical Christianity.
Oh, I didn't know that they were part of that.
Yeah, they were super, super involved in this really big organization that's really prevalent on campus, college campuses, called Campus Crusades for Christ.
Oh my God, not Crew.
Yeah, and they were working for that organization, very deeply entrenched in Christianity and, like, proselytizing.
Yeah.
And they did this extremely deep dive into their process of, like, deconstruction, and also, like, talked very openly about, like, the very hateful things that they thought, did, and said while they were religious, which I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And also, like, that's the only thing that I would ever want.
Yeah.
From someone.
You have to, completely absolve yourself.
And that takes a lot of time.
It does. And a lot of reflection and education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good example of how it's done. They were able to do it because it was safe for them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And for this person, who I don't think is Stephanie Meyer, maybe it actually, isn't. And so I think it's still cool the book exists. And also, Rhett of Rhett and Link wrote a whole new country album about deconstruction.
Wow.
Which is so cool. It's just this very anti-religious country music.
Wow.
It is such a vibe.
Wow.
It's brand new.
Love it.
Came out within the last few weeks.
Wow.
So 10 out of 10, highly recommend if you're looking
That's
for
cool. people who have actually done
people
that.
Who've actually done this in a way that I think is satisfactory. And also to say they did create content while they were religious, but the bulk of the content that they have created did not include that stuff. So it was also they didn't have to reckon with public facing
yeah.
content and
that's
the
good.
Work that they're very, very known for being
yeah,
influenced by that.
True.
So that's also a different kind of situation.
And can you even come back from it?
Can you even come back from it?
That's interesting.
That's the news.
Yeah. If you have more insight on that, feel free to reach out to us. But, it might have been just somebody being oh, there's a Mormon book out. Is it Stephanie Meyer? And then people running with it.
That's that.
We got a question. Somebody emailed us about vampire astrology. This person is named Haley. And Haley's referring back to some conversations we've had before on the podcast, speculating about what the different vampire signs are, and
mm-hmm.
which I don't remember what I said, first of all. But thank you for liking whatever my take was. I know that I've had a lot of takes about this before.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we might have said, though.
I think, we've said before in the past that, their, actual human birthday and their vampire, birthday are different.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's what this question is about.
Ah, okay.
This, Haley's saying, do you think that vampire birth charts are affected by their rebirth as a vampire? There's a lot of language that refers to their transformation as the death of their humanity and the start of a new life.
Yeah.
If it does have that effect, is the chart made on the day that they're bitten or the day they finish transforming or a bit of both? And I feel like my answer to this is that it's the moment that they finish transforming.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, because that's the equivalent for being born.
In this section, Edward talks about how unchanging vampires are
yeah.
and how they're basically rocks.
Yeah,
and
literally.
When they become that, I feel like that is their new,
when they solidify,
reality.
When
they
they're
solidify,
done. Yeah. I mean, when your birth chart is based off of the minute that you were born,
mm-hmm.
and which is not the minute that your parent went into labor.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So the moment that you came out into the world as your own person is, I think, the equivalent
mm-hmm.
here. I was looking up articles on Gemini and Virgo relationships.
Yeah, sure.
A couple interesting things on the compatibility of Gemini and Virgo, which are Bella and Edward's signs, because they're engaged now, and so they should know maybe some more about their compatibility. I think what's interesting about this pairing, and it's not necessarily a pairing that you think of as oh my god, that's such a great pairing, because it's really not, but Gemini and Virgo are both ruled by Mercury, so that makes this interesting, and it makes their communication very interesting. This one particular article about Gemini and Virgos says that their sexual relationship is hardly promising. I just think that is really telling. It says they both have the need to communicate, and if they find a language they both understand, they might agree on the way that their sexual life is to progress. However, there's a big chance that endless discussions will not lead to their mutual understanding, leaving them distant and not interested to share any sexual experiences.
Interesting.
If they fall in love, they will use enough tenderness and respect to make their sex life work, but it will still rarely be satisfying for both partners.
That feels extremely accurate
yeah.
to their current situation. And also, it also makes sense that would change
yeah.
when they are both vampires,
mm-hmm.
potentially.
That's a 5% compatibility, according to this one website. For Gemini and Virgo trust, it's 1%. It says... just not a chance. Since with Virgo's trust issues and Gemini's trickster nature, both of them are about to go crazy. It says the good thing is that they're not prone to jealousy, which I don't believe for these particular people. But it does straight up say Gemini is not someone Virgo can trust. When Virgo starts doubting and analyzing everything, Gemini will simply fly away in the best case scenario. This says their communication is not bad. Even if they have a fight, they will still be good at talking. They definitely talk.
They do talk. Yeah. Like, I don't think they've ever been so mad at each other that they don't talk.
Right. I really liked this one section. Their view on intellect could be a bit different. Gemini's superficial nature could seem extremely stupid to their Virgo partner.
Yeah.
This will set Gemini off to be even more irritating on purpose because they are everything but stupid.
Yeah.
In return, Gemini will see Virgo's obsession with details and think of them as crazy. This language is a little weird, but Virgo will probably not fight this, but will sit in their room and cry alone in the dark.
That's wild.
Yeah. I wanted to see if there were any like famous Virgo-Gemini couples. And, like, there aren't. There are a few, but they're not really that noteworthy. It's like, I maybe know who one of these people is, with the exception of Zendaya, who's a Virgo, and Tom Holland, who's a Gemini. But jury's still out on whether or not that relationship is real.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but still. There's this one part here about their emotions, too. And it says, Gemini simply doesn't stay in one place long enough to build an emotional bond or recognize how they feel, while Virgo tries hard to dismiss Venus, and with it love, and all earthly pleasures, because they don't think they deserve any of it.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Bella would feel so seen if she read about Virgos.
Literally.
Like, she would just be so validated.
Their values are 70% aligned according to this one website, which is zodiacsign.com. They are both fans of intelligence, resourcefulness, and practicality. However, their approach to basic intelligence is different, and they won't always recognize it in the same way. In fact, their relationship can show us exactly how relative intelligence is. Their meeting point is actually in their emotional intelligence, not our typical one. It's a good thing they both like to read so they can visit a library every once in a while. Can't make this shit up.
Oh my god.
Their lack of self-value, Virgos, will make them question every location and activity their Gemini partner would want to take them to.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's some really good stuff there. That's way too real.
We should do this all again when Bella gets her with Bella's transformation date.
Oh, yeah.
When we get to Breaking Dawn. See what their new relationship's gonna be like.
Absolutely. Her vampire self is still a Virgo, because she turns just before her birthday.
So nothing changes?
I mean, at least not in the sun sign.
In the sun, so we'd have to dive a little deeper next time.
I bet we could calculate a pretty accurate chart for that moment, knowing the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should really dive in now. We are in the day and night leading up to the battle. Bella and Edward just got engaged, in case you forgot. I've been processing it since we last recorded, which was almost a month ago. Mm-hmm. So I really needed this time, but...
Yeah, same.
It was hard.
Yeah.
So the plot here is that the Cullens get home from their hunting trip, returning to Edward and Bella in the otherwise empty house. Alice and Bella have a conversation pertaining to the engagement, and then Edward and Bella leave to go meet up with Jacob so that Jacob can carry Bella to disguise her trail, her scent, so that she can stay hidden away in the campsite during the battle. They do that. Bella and Jacob have a conversation, and then they meet up with Edward at the campsite, and we have the very famous tent scene where Bella and Edward are tenting out for the night. Jacob is also there, and because it's so unseasonably cold and to the point of, like, danger, Jacob ends up coming into the tent to warm Bella up, and the three of them talk a little bit, and in particular, Jacob and Edward have quite a lengthy conversation. So this section is a lot of talking. Let's get into it. This is chapter 21, Trails.
Here we go. First line, immediately. Bella's talking about how annoying it is that she has to sleep. She's gonna love vampirism.
Yeah.
This is really, like, setting the scene for Bella being like, oh, this is everything I ever wanted. I feel so much more myself.
Yeah.
She hates to sleep. Cannot relate.
Mm-hmm. Can't relate. Yeah. She immediately is like, oh no, I'm engaged.
Yeah.
Like, she's not thrilled about it anymore.
She's like, my plan went wrong. I didn't get what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I'm also engaged.
Yeah. She said she needs to come to grips with the consequences of her plan going wrong. The consequences of getting engagement. Engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marriage, namely, I guess. Yeah.
She also said that she gave back the ring as soon as she could do it without hurting his feelings.
Yeah.
She's not going to wear it. she still feels like her hand is being weighed down by it.
That's like a red flag for you to examine in yourself.
Yeah. And she's already like trying to make this as palatable to herself as possible by being like, it's okay. We'll road trip to Vegas. I will wear old sweats.
Yeah.
It won't take more than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. Just in case anyone was ever wondering, if you feel like that before you're getting married, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. You shouldn't do it. You
should not do it.
But she's saying, and when it was over, he would have to fulfill his side, aka he has to fuck me when it's over. And she's going to concentrate on that to forget about the rest.
This is so, like, this is so Christian.
Yeah.
This is so, we have to get married so we can have sex.
Yeah.
This is exactly why. Just stop emphasizing marriage.
Terrible vibes. Yeah. The Cullens get home. Immediately we're dealing with Alice. Alice is in a terrible mood. They don't tell anybody, like, what's happened, that, like, they're officially engaged. Mm-hmm. And Bella's like, of course, like, I should have anticipated that. Alice would, of course, know.
Yeah.
Alice? Oh, is there music happening?
Yeah. It's outside.
No, it's below us. If you are hearing any music in the background...
That's just the vibe.
That's a bonus for you.
Not a mistake.
From my downstairs neighbor, who is playing guitar.
Okay.
So Alice, she's mad.
She's really mad.
And she's going to be passive aggressive about it.
She's going to be passive aggressive and then she's going to get what she wants.
Yeah. It runs in the family, apparently. Manipulation.
Yeah. Edward thinks this is funny.
I mean, he also does seem a little upset.
He seems protective.
Yeah. At her doing this. Yeah.
I think he thinks it's inherently funny that she's like so upset about it, but he is upset when she tries to talk to Bella about it.
Yeah.
They do have to call Jacob to let him know that they're going to be ready for him in about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, Bella picks up the phone to call and ends up talking to Billy, who's like, don't worry, I'll find somebody to track him down and get him there. Also, don't worry about Charlie. And then ends the phone call by saying, I wish I could be with the rest of them tomorrow. Being an old man is a hardship, Bella.
The implications of that sentence, though, are like... Did you used to, like, were you a werewolf?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of implied in the other places that he's not. But yeah. I'm like,
it's weird because, like,
fight.
Yeah, it does imply that he used to fight. And it's like, maybe he just feels like he's not a part of, like, he's not a part of it all anymore. Like, he's not.
He just wants to be with his.
I guess. I don't know, but.
Son and community. Yeah.
Bella's narration is, the urge to fight must be a defining characteristic of the Y chromosome. They were all the same.
Great take, Bella. Just excellent. Thank you, Stephanie Meyer.
Thank you, Stephanie Meyer.
For that feminism.
It's just like, how could somebody read this book and be like...
be like, what?
This says nothing about who Stephanie Meyer is.
Yeah, right.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's be super reductive. This is like when I started taking women's studies classes and ended up with like teachers who were like, the world would be better if women were involved because women are capable of peace because they don't want to fight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, women have never done war crimes. That's not why it's important for people to have power.
Yeah.
It's not important for people to... It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They were all the same. Thanks, Bella. Billy also, interestingly... he says good luck to Bella, and he says, and pass that good luck along to the Cullens for me. And Bella's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Bella has, like, one conversation with Billy per book, and it's always about the Cullens.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see, like, the progress.
Mm-hmm. Next time, he's gonna be like, tell him I love them.
Yeah.
We'll
see.
Alice and Edward are just staring at each other, having a silent conversation. She's pleading, he's frowning, and then Alice is like, can I talk to you? To Bella.
Alone.
And Edward is saying, I'd really rather that you didn't do this and make my life harder.
Yeah.
But she says, this isn't about you, Edward.
Which it is.
Which it is, 100%. Or arguably 50%.
Yeah. Just to pair off with the line that we just had, Alice says, it's not about you. This is a female thing.
Women are the only people that can...
Get married?
Get married, and they're the only people that are allowed to be excited about it or involved in any way.
Yeah. Yeah.
What Edward wants doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Let Edward be the bridezilla of his dreams. This whole wedding's for him. Why?
It's all about him.
Why are they circling around wanting to make this special for Bella? They should be interrogating, what does Edward want out of this?
Yeah, this is clearly like his fantasy, his dream wedding. Yeah.
Alice puts on a fucking show.
Yeah.
She goes hard.
Yeah, she's never really gone this hard before.
She has never attempted to get something as much as she has attempted in this scene.
She puts on her saddest voice and, like, curls up against Bella's side and looks so sad that Bella immediately, like, holds her in her arms.
And says, "What's wrong?" And Alice says, "Don't you love me?"
How does Bella not see through this immediately?
I know. I would be like, "Don't even start."
Yeah. You little shit.
And then she says, "Then why do I see you sneaking off to Vegas to get married without inviting me?"
And Bella's like, "Oh, I've hurt her feelings." And she's like, "Well, you know how I hate to make a big deal out of things. This was all Edward's idea anyway." And Alice says, "I don't care whose idea it was. How could you do this to me? I expect that kind of thing from Edward, but not from you. I love you like you were my own sister." Alice really said, "Isn't there someone you're forgetting to ask?" Like, Edward proposing to Bella, "Will you marry me? Can we get married in Vegas?" Alice is like, "You need to consult with me first, because this is actually equally about me."
And Bella tries to compromise with her by saying, "There won't be much to see, but you can come."
Yeah.
And Alice says, "How much do you love me, Bella?" And she asks, "If you really, really love me, please let me do your wedding." And notably, Bella says no several times and never says yes. And Alice just sees that Bella's being worn down because she can see the future.
Yeah.
And is like, "All right, thanks."
Yeah. Bella's like, "I did not say yes." And Alice is like, "But you're going to. Yeah. So that's good enough for me."
Bella seems like upset about this, like, to a degree that we're not super, like, aware about. But she says, "I threw my arms around Edward," after, like, calling him back there, "threw my arms around Edward, hiding my face in case the angry moisture in my eyes made it look like I was crying."
You're Bella, crying, that's bestie. Crying.
That's that tears. That is just crying.
Real tears.
I hate to say it.
Tears of anger, nonetheless. But Edward's like, "We can still do Vegas. We can still do Vegas." And Alice is like, "Not a chance. Bella would never do that to me. You know, Edward, as a brother, you are sometimes a disappointment." So true.
It's true, but it's not for this reason.
No.
Oh, it sucks, because it's just like, when it's not Edward and Jacob trying to control what Bella does and, like, make her decisions for her, it really sucks when other people do
it. Alice, it really do be Alice.
It's Alice.
Yeah.
It sucks when Alice does it. It's just, like, the same.
And yeah.
I think a lot of people, like, are, like, kind of okay with it because they like Alice.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, nobody respects this person's agency at all.
She says, "I'm trying to make you happy. It's just that I know better what will make you happy in the long run. You'll thank me for this. Maybe not for 50 years, but definitely someday."
Such a tired argument to make about anything you're trying to get someone to do that they don't want to do.
And, like, that was Jacob's reasoning for kissing her against her will.
This is, like, the part... I'm going to relate this to the Try Guys drama.
Okay. Yeah, let's bring that in here, actually.
So, on a podcast recently with one of their employees, like, before any of this all came out, Ned said to a Try Guys employee...
Oh, to Rainey?
Rainey.
Who's, like, 22.
Yeah, yeah. Who's, you know, 22, and, in my opinion, a child. Mm-hmm. Respectfully. Mm-hmm. Not derogatory. "Your biological clock is gonna start ticking. You might not want kids now, but you're gonna want them in the future."
Yeah.
Like, saying the same thing, like, "Oh, like, I, as, like, someone who's infinitely more wise, know more than you what you're gonna want in the future." Mm-hmm. Which, like, everybody fucking does to Bella.
Yes. Everyone does that. And people do that about marriage and kids.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what Alice is saying here, like, you're going to want to have had this wedding. Mm-hmm. And so you'll thank me for it. And it's, like, the thing about that is, it's not true. But mm-hmm. even if in 50 years Bella was like, "Oh, I wish that I had a really big fancy wedding," guess what? You can still do it, because...
You're young forever.
You're going to look the same.
Yep.
Like, you're going to feel the same. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you're not going to want it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, why not just do it then? Yeah. I don't know if this is, like, a, like... I don't understand. Alice, it just wants to plan a wedding.
Yeah.
She, like, just likes to plan parties. Which she should just go be a wedding planner.
Right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think that it would even be, like, maybe something that, like, might be something Bella would tolerate if it didn't have to involve her high school class.
Yeah, like Al's gonna invite everyone she knows. Yeah.
That's a huge part of why Bella's uncomfortable with this, is because it makes her, like, occupy the space that she didn't want to occupy of, like, young bride.
Mm-hmm.
And if she didn't have to do that in the future, maybe that would be something that she would be interested in, like, some portion of the wedding experience, at least.
And, like, Alice is saying, or, like, where is this part? Where they're, like, telling Bella, like, she's not gonna have to do anything, just gonna have to, like, walk a few yards and repeat after a minister.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's more than that, and you know that.
Like, yeah. It's not even about, like, the day. It's, like, about all this. Like, she has to wear an engagement ring for the months. She has to tell her parents. She mm-hmm. has to let everybody talk about her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the big to-do. The big to-do is announcing that you're getting married.
And Alice is also like, I want to see your ring. And so she grabs Bella's hand and sees that the ring is not on her finger. And she's like, what's going on? And Edward is like, well, Bella has issues with jewelry. And Alice starts going off. And she's like, well, what's one more diamond? Edward cuts her off. And this is like...
the bracelet.
This is confirming. And Bella realizes it later when mm-hmm. she's talking to Jacob. She realizes that, oh, Edward gave me a diamond last night.
A huge diamond.
A huge ass diamond.
It's almost like Edward knew that Bella wouldn't wear an engagement ring. And so he was like, I'll get a diamond on your body no matter what. By telling you it's a rhinestone, sure. I'm going to bedazzle you.
Do I bedazzle you?
Oh my god. I saw on TikTok recently, I think I must have sent it to you, it's been like the last couple of months or so, like, there was a esthetician's place that did vajazzling.
Oh yes, I did see that, yeah.
Dug out their old vajazzle kit and they found a bunch of like Twilight, like Team Edward vajazzles.
Yes.
Like, I literally
can you
would
imagine?
Do that.
Yeah.
Just for the bid.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god.
Patreon level $1,000 a month will get you.
We'll get vajazzled.
Vajazzling.
Oh my god. So Edward and Bella head off. They need to do some amount of hiking before meeting up with Jacob. Mm-hmm. So they're doing like parallel trails that are like several yards apart from each other, where Bella's like walking by herself and like touching everything and like intentionally mm-hmm. putting her scent on things. She's like putting loose strands of her hair on the ferns and whatever. They're doing that, and they're also still kind of talking about their wedding. And Edward is like, I want this to be what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Bella narrates, I repressed a sigh. It would hurt his feelings if I told the truth. That didn't really matter because it was all just varying degrees of awful anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you need to tell that truth, though.
Yes.
There's some truths that are really hard to say and you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, but like if the truth is that you don't want to be with someone, go a particular direction in your relationship with that someone, like you owe them that information, actually.
Yeah. He's saying like, we can keep it really small, Emmett can get a license off the internet, and she says that sounds better, and they're like, this is gonna be the compromise, and it's like, You think Alice is gonna accept that?
It's like, first of all, let that happen. Let Emmett be the one to marry them. I want to hear what he says.
And I think we said this maybe the last time we recorded, but the compromise between getting married and not getting married is not getting married.
Yes. And I like to elaborate on what I just said. Like, I think he has a lot of gall being like, I want this to be what you want it to be. Because, like, he knows that she's not really interested in mm-hmm. having a ceremony at all and, like, isn't really interested in being married.
It's like, if you want it to be what she wants it to be, then, like...
Yeah, it's like, you don't really mean that.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he wants the marriage certificate. Is that what he wants? Like, he wants the marriage certificate so that he can bone?
Yeah.
Like, is that...
Legally, I can bone now.
Legally, yeah. I'm now allowed to bone in the eyes of the state. It's like, imagine allowing the government that much say over relationships and over, like, the meaning that you make. And that's not to say that for some people it's not incredibly meaningful,
mm-hmm.
but also it's just, like... The government is gonna, like, you care about Deborah at the DMV. You care about Lisa at the town office.
Like, that's embarrassing.
Like, being like, yeah, you could get married.
Yeah. There's so many valid reasons to get married, whether legally or otherwise.
Right. They don't
but
need
none
a tax
of those,
benefit.
Yeah, none know? Of those reasons are present here, in my opinion. God. So something interesting happens here, which is that Bella trips and falls a little bit, and her hand starts bleeding.
And she immediately tries to get Edward to stay away.
Yeah, she's like, don't come over here, just hold your breath.
Just go away.
Also, it's not addressed here at all, but like, why does he go over to her when the whole point is for them to have their scents separately?
I have a lot of questions. I don't understand. I have a fundamental question about the structure of this plan, but I think it'll be better for another episode. Okay.
Yeah, so Edward is ignoring her request to let her handle it on her own, and he's like, I'm totally fine.
And I have a first aid kit.
Yeah. He, like, takes her hand and is, like, looking at her bleeding, and he says, this doesn't bother me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which is news to us. This is a really important, like, thing for us to know.
Yes. And she chooses, before letting him bandage this, to spread her blood on some rocks and some ferns.
Yeah.
To further the trail and send the newborns into a frenzy.
Yeah. She's like, Jasper's gonna love this one.
Vampires love her. Dermatologists hate her.
Yeah. So she's asking him, like, why doesn't this bother you? He says he got over it. And she's like, excuse me?
Casual.
Like, what the fuck? And so here's his reasoning. I lived through an entire 24 hours thinking you were dead. That changed the way I look at a lot of things. And she says, does it change the way I smell to you? And he said, not at all, but having experienced the way it feels to think I've lost you, my reactions have changed. My entire being shies away from any course that could inspire that kind of pain again. So no head. Yeah, I'm like, you're telling me.
He said, I maybe would have entertained it before, but now I'm never gonna fuck you.
Well, it's like interesting because it's like, if he's not worried about accidentally sucking her blood because it becomes too much, like if her blood is spilled, then like that's a really, like that means that their relationship is a lot safer now.
Yeah. And she had no idea.
And so, if he's putting sex into the category of any course that could inspire that kind of pain again, aka the pain of thinking that she was dead, maybe, I don't think that you can really put sex in that category because he's saying the risk would be to injure her accidentally, not to, like, suck all of her blood.
Right.
It's all so hollow. Anyway.
I just feel like they go off again on their journey. They're almost where they're meeting Jacob. And I'm just kind of like, isn't it a horrible idea for her to be bleeding? Like, her hand's not going to totally heal by the time other vampires are tracking her down. And, like, I know Jacob's, like, scent can cover a lot, but when she's up there on that mountain, she's still going to have this injury?
Well, maybe if it's bound up really tight and if it's like not that, like if it stopped bleeding?
I guess.
I don't know.
I'm just kind of like, I feel like this is a vulnerability that she's walking around with now. I guess we don't really know the full extent to like how sensitive.
Yeah, it's hard to say like how, I mean, we're supposed to believe that when she is being carried and like isn't actually touching anything that like it's easy to cover her scent, so her scent is coming from her steps on the ground and like touching her skin to the surroundings. It's hard to say like if they'd be able to smell her blood in the air and the direction that it went, especially because there's like a storm coming.
That's true.
Which, like, the storm might cover up all the tracks anyway.
That's what she says when they get there. She's like, I was worried about this storm covering up all the work that we did, but Edward's like, Jacob's scent is too strong, the storm can't cover it, so maybe it's just like that's gonna be the only thing that lingers. I don't know.
We're just supposed to believe
I'm skeptical of this whole thing. Jacob's there.
He's there in human form. Bella does this whole paragraph. Yeah. Just this whole paragraph about how, like, large he seems.
Yeah.
She says he seemed bigger again. No doubt a product of my expectations. I must have unconsciously been hoping to see the smaller Jacob from my memory. The one that she hasn't seen in a really long time.
Yeah, it's like she's like doesn't like that he's physically intimidating as a human. And, like, that feels really valid for what she's experienced because of him.
Yeah.
But also feels like
very racialized.
Yes. Yeah. Also racialized. And it's like
racist, I should say.
Yeah.
Edward's like, there had to be a better way to do this. I'm like, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was the idea that Edward and Jacob were really excited about. It's like, yeah, it was a shit. It doesn't have to be him.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be him.
Mm-hmm.
So they all talk. Jacob's like, where do I take her? Edward gets out a map and starts showing him where to go. There's like this little like tension filled moment that I'm choosing to read as homoerotic. Mm-hmm. It says, "We're here now," Edward said, reaching over to touch the right spot. Jacob recoiled from his hand automatically, then steadied himself. Edward pretended not to notice. I know that they like fucking hate each other, yeah. But also just work through it.
Edward says, "I'll see you in a few hours."
It's 9 miles.
Ah!
It's 9 miles, which I was thinking, like, if I were to walk 9 miles at a steady pace without much obstruction, like, 3 hours.
Yeah. This is a hike, but...
It's a hike up a mountain. Jacob is jogging.
Yeah.
The whole time. So I'm going to say that it takes, like, 1.5 or 2 hours.
Yeah. That's a long time for them to be alone together.
Completely, completely alone.
After what has transpired.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. And they talk about it. They talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, also, I liked this. I thought it was interesting. As soon as Edward got out this map, I was like, you're being patronizing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Edward offers to give Jacob the map so he doesn't Jacob get lost. And Jacob
says, no thanks.
He's like, I know this area pretty well. I'm good.
It's like, this is my ancestral homeland.
Actually, yeah.
Actually, yeah. Like, thanks, I'm familiar.
I don't need a fucking map.
I've been patrolling this land for X number of months while you've been...
off doing God knows what.
Yeah. Proposing to your girlfriend and not having sex with her.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard to, like... It's just... The thing is, when Edward and Jacob start talking, one of them is racist and the other one is abusive. It's just, like... There's nothing... Like, I can't... I'm, like, constantly, like... Don't say that to both, mm-hmm. like, anything either of them says. I'm like, you shut the fuck up.
Stop, yeah. Don't speak.
It's like a fight between two people and I want to win.
Yeah. So Edward leaves. He's taking a different route.
Bye. He's probably, how long do you think it takes him to get there? 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah, no time at all.
20 minutes?
He's up there.
He's like.
Setting up a tent and then pacing the entire time.
Yeah. Maybe he's meditating.
There's no way. He has never done that. He's never tried it. And it, like, it won't work on him because, like, breathing techniques won't work on a vampire. They can't, they don't have a, I mean, if they have a centralized nervous system.
I don't know.
Breath doesn't calm it, they've said, so. I don't know.
Do they still have the vagus nerve? It's cold all the time.
It's always icy. Anyway. Not letting myself go down that path.
No. Pulling us back to the text.
So Jacob needs to carry her, and he decides he's going to pick her up in the most rude way possible mm-hmm. by, like, essentially knocking her over by picking up her knees first and then just catching her head before mm-hmm. it hits the ground. So I'm so sick of him already.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah. So in case you were hopeful that, like, Jacob was going to be chill and, like, redeem himself.
Don't worry, he's not.
He's not. He's going
to... He's
going to
double down.
Yeah, he's once again going to bring up the fact that he kissed her mm-hmm. and the fact that he still believes that she is in love with him.
Yep.
Which is behavior that is only going to escalate in whatever we read next.
Yeah. He's like, oh, it's been a while since you've come down to La Push. And she's like, well, I'm busy and I also probably wouldn't have visited anyway.
Yeah.
And... He's like, well, have you been thinking about that last time a lot? And she's like, no.
Ugh. You huge ugh.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Bella even says, like, I don't like having this conversation under the conditions. He's literally holding me tightly to his bare chest. Like,
it's too warm.
His face is closer than I want it to be. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't take a step back because he's literally holding me.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to have this conversation with him. Under those conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
He says to her, a smart person looks at all sides of a decision. Ew.
Ew.
Like, what decision? Your decision to kiss her without her consent? Because that was your decision.
Yeah.
Like, that's all that was. And she's like, I have thought about it. And he's like, well, if you haven't thought at all about our conversation, is how he's referring to it,
mm-hmm.
the last time you came over, then that's not true. And she says, that conversation isn't relevant to my decision.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, some people will go to any lengths to delude themselves. Fucking so rude. And Bella's immediately like, I've noticed that werewolves in particular are prone to that mistake. Do you think it's a genetic thing? I don't like that what she said, that she says this.
No, no.
Because, like, you don't have to make it about his race. That's exactly
what I'm saying. It's like, Jacob steps over the line by 7 miles, and then someone says something racist to him, and I'm like, just because someone's acting like this doesn't mean you can say things that are racist. And, like, that's not what Bella's thinking. Like, she doesn't even know.
No, and I think that it's so revealing that that's what Stephenie Meyer is constantly doing.
She does it all the time.
Creating these situations where she's justifying,
calling him a dog.
Yes, yeah.
Like, talking about how he smells. Mm-hmm. Like, talking about how he's the shape big of his and body. Intimidating. Yeah. And, like, the color of his skin.
Yep.
And how he has this much so much hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh my God.
It's hypersexual.
People worry about...
This is a hypersexual description.
People worry about what these books contain in terms of, like, what, like, gendered messages, like, young adults can walk away from it.
Yeah.
And it's like, the really insidious thing is what... racial messages they take away from it. This is the stuff of implicit biases dreams.
Yeah.
Like, this is what that's all built on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because somebody crosses a boundary with you, even if somebody, like, assaults you, it doesn't mean
you don't get to be racist. You don't get to be racist. So, Jacob and his very unimaginative idea that he has next is that this must be because Edward is a better kisser. So he says, does that mean that he's a better kisser than I am? And Bella...
I love this reframing.
Yeah, she says, I really couldn't say, Jake. Edward is the only person I've ever kissed. And Jacob immediately is like, besides me. And Bella says, and this is really interesting.
Yeah.
Bella says, but I don't count that as a kiss, Jacob. I think of it more as an assault. And Jacob says, ouch, that's cold.
Which...
what kind of response is that?
Imagine, like, you've been accused of assault.
Oh, that's cold.
And then you're like, oh, don't say that about me.
How rude.
Do that all the time.
But yeah, they do.
I feel so validated that this is the word that is used in this book because it has felt like they weren't going to use that, like, terminology.
I'm kind of surprised that she put that in there.
I am surprised, pleasantly surprised, that we're actually going to refer to it as an assault. Because I think the tendency has been for some people to be like, it's not that serious.
Right, I mean, it's definitely not being treated very seriously.
Right.
And
it's like, it's nice that at least Bella is able to take it that seriously.
Yeah. I think it's just fascinating to me that Stephenie Meyer decided to use that word, and, like, mm-hmm. she was able to recognize that that is the situation that she created, and yet the narrative that she is creating around that
doesn't feel informed by...
No, and I mean, like, he's gonna do it again.
Yeah.
And... an even more insidious way, mm-hmm. I would argue, and...
I don't think she would call what happens in the next way assault.
It almost feels like a little bit of both, where it's like, where it's like, it's an assault, but also, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, because it was just a kiss,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote, or like, because of like the underlying assumption, the underlying feeling that Bella does have, which is that she cares about Jacob and loves him and wants to be his friend. But therefore it's something that Bella has to get over.
And I feel like I've run into people who think that kisses are not sexual.
I know,
and
right?
So they like distance them from like other forms of sexual assault or like other like sexualized forms of violence.
Yeah.
Like they like put it in a box over there, which I think for some people is like a defense mechanism to not have to say that they'd experienced an assault.
Sure.
But like also it's like I feel like there's this like it's like feels like people push it off to
it's not
be that big of a deal.
Right. And like maybe for some people and here's the thing. You can't compare different assaults. You can't compare different types of sexual violence. It's not a spectrum.
Right.
And I think people have this mentality that there is a spectrum of less harm to more harm.
Yeah.
And that it's, like, valuable to think about it in that way, which it's not, because...
What matters more is, like, your
the boundary.
Context.
Yeah.
Like, who you are, what happens, where you are, what, like, meaning you take from it. Like, it's about the whole ecology of the environment in which something happens.
Yeah, how you feel about it in particular, what particular boundary was crossed, and, like, the fact that that happened mm-hmm. is valid in and of itself. And I think wanting to be like, well, it's quote unquote, just a kiss. So it's not as bad as like something else that could have occurred. And like maybe there's a lot of people who would agree if they mm-hmm. had to like, if they experience both of those things or something mm-hmm. and like, and could compare like the impact that it had on them. But, you know, it's not necessarily like one of those things is going to be more or less traumatizing for different people in different situations.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that has to do with like romance, dating, sexuality, bodies, like can fall into this category of like a broadly like a sexual boundary. And mm-hmm. that definitely includes kissing, especially if it's somebody who's saying you are in love with me and I'm going to make you kiss me. Like, yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Right. There's a reality in which Bella experienced another form of sexual assault.
Yeah.
With a stranger.
Yeah.
And then this was more upsetting to her.
Yeah. Because it's about the relationship. The betrayal, the trust, the yeah. betrayal of trust, yeah. Yeah, and that's why that's a really good example of, like, why it doesn't make sense to try to, like, compare and contrast, or, I mean, you can compare and contrast them, but, like, it doesn't make sense to try to be, like, rank one of these them. was like, worse inherently, or, mm-hmm. like, would always be worse to somebody, because it really, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
So I just think it's interesting that, I don't know, I'm just, yeah, we're I'm invoking still sitting
the
with
language
this.
Of assault.
Yeah.
Into this book, which I honestly did not expect. Like, I didn't expect that would be a part of the framing of this.
Yeah, I mean, there was that moment where Charlie was like,
"You can press charges."
No, he didn't. No, he said that to
Jacob
about Bella.
Yeah.
LOL. But there was the moment where Charlie was saying to her, like, after graduation, like, "Oh, I should have taught you to throw a punch," mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, you shouldn't have to, you know, you shouldn't have had to be in that situation. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's kind of as close as we've gotten so far.
Yeah.
And part of me is, like I want to believe so badly that Bella does think of it as an assault and, like, that she's been using that framework to understand it. But part of me is, like, is Stephenie Meyer only saying that because she does want Bella to be lashing out at Jacob and, like, does want Bella to say something that's going to hurt his feelings, mm-hmm. regardless of whether or not she believes it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
is she trying to be harsh?
Yeah, is she trying to be harsh? Is she supposed to be in the reader's eyes or in Stephenie's eyes being dramatic?
Yeah, right. I would never tell somebody that this wasn't a sexual assault because it's up to each person to decide how to define their own experience. Mm-hmm. Like, some people might say, yeah, this person kissed me without my consent or kiss me when I didn't want them to, and they might choose to not refer to that as an assault, mm-hmm. and like that's fine, it's still not okay whether or right. not you can qualify it or classify it as an assault. But yeah, this is weird. I'm curious. I mean, I'm not looking forward to like reading that next part,
no,
and how that's all gonna go down, but and I just wonder how she's gonna think about that,
mm-hmm.
because I think that this is all going to change too. I think she's going to really internalize like gaslighting and manipulation that's mm-hmm. happening. So yeah.
Yep.
Anyway,
they keep going back and forth. Jacob lets a little bit of time pass and then like doubles down on this like hypothesis that he has that it's irresponsible of her to be getting married. Well, he doesn't know that. He's irresponsible of her to be choosing forever with Edward when she's only kissed one person.
I think it's also just fucking wild that she just said you assaulted me and he's like, well, you can kiss me again.
Yeah, he immediately is like, you need to use me to experiment. Like, I think you should just double check.
Ew,
you should just
ew,
compare
ew,
and
ew.
And he pulls her tighter to him and she says that she has a panicky edge to her voice and says, don't mess with me. I won't stop him if he wants to break your jaw.
Yeah.
She says, the panicky edge to my voice made him smile wider. Insidious.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's so yucky the way he's treating her. And yeah, so it's just so strange to me that like Stephenie is like able to name this as an assault, but then like still have this like really, really not like completely not okay back and forth.
And then expect people to empathize with Jacob.
Yeah.
All?
To be like, oh, but they're friends and they care about each other. I don't give a shit. They should not be allowed to be alone together like this.
No.
Jacob also, like, has some gall being like, how do you know what you want? Shouldn't you play the field a little? Shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you kiss someone else?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you
kiss someone, like, period?
Like, literally?
I what is the purpose of Jacob carrying Bella up? There's so many wolves.
I know.
Why, like, why would Jacob have to be the one?
Like, he literally
doesn't
have to be
alone
to be the one.
Together.
Yeah. And Jacob also, when Bella's like, Edward might break your jaw if you try to do that, mm-hmm. he's like, Well, if you ask me to kiss you, he won't have any reason to get upset. He said that was fine. Like, using this, what was really, I think, meant to be, like, an excuse, even though I think Edward, like, means that, because he's like, if Bella, I'll let Bella do whatever she wants to do, mm-hmm. of course. Especially if it means not being with Edward, because I think Edward would be doesn't want her to want to be with him.
Yeah.
But, like, I think this is just reminding us that that conversation happened, because it's going to become relevant.
Yeah.
Again.
And then this other conversation starts happening, which I think is so interesting. And Jacob says, I think you like me better as a wolf. And Bella says, yeah, because you can't talk.
Yeah.
And then he says, I think it's easier for you to be near me when I'm not human, because you don't have to pretend that you're not attracted to me.
What a misread.
And she's mad and says, like, doubles down and is like, no, it's because you can't talk and you're not annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And then he accuses her of saying, and says, you have to know how aware you are of me, physically, I mean. And she said, you're an enormous monster who refuses to respect anyone else's personal space. And it's like, it's not anyone else. It's just you.
Mm-hmm.
He's targeting you because
mm-hmm.
he wants something from you.
Yeah. Which is, yeah. And this is also like, what a weird thing to say. Like, you have to know how aware you are of me physically. And it's like, first of all, you're not inside her head. Second of all, if she's very physically aware of you, it's because she's physically threatened by you.
Yes,
doesn't
exactly.
Doesn't feel safe around
right.
you.
Right. It's like, she feels more safe. She feels safer around you when you're in an objectively more physically dangerous form to her. Because when you're a human, you're sexually threatening to her.
Yeah.
Like, she's taking the gamble of physical violence.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't trust when you're a human that you won't be sexually violent.
Yeah.
And that's, like, just...
not something to be proud
so
of.
So ridiculous.
He's like, I make you nervous, but only when I'm human. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yes.
Like, put two and two together. I mean, like, she comes right out and, like, refers to him as a monster, which is, I think it's telling that she just does that because she's, like, she's just kind of had it with him. Like, there used to be this whole thing where he was, like, oh, you think of me as a monster. I'm not the right kind of monster for you. And it's, like, you don't even understand. I think we've talked about this before. You don't understand that, like, Bella is a monster fucker.
Yeah, right.
So, like, if anything, she should be more into your wolf form if she were into you. Like...
they have this conversation and he slows down and leans his face closer to hers.
Like he's just gonna, like he's just going for it.
Kiss her again. And then she,
after all that,
she says, I stared him down knowing exactly what he was trying to do. And like distracts him by saying, that's your face. Like, and like, that's the only thing that she can say, or like, she's not able to physically stop him. And she's just completely, like, at his mercy this entire 1.5-2 hour hike.
When she says, it's your face, he laughs at that and just starts running again. And he's like, I don't really want to fight with your vampire tonight, because we both have something to do tomorrow. And it's like, the only thing that's stopping him is the threat of Edward.
Literally. If Edward, like, if there was some way that he could guarantee that Edward wouldn't know, or he could guarantee that Edward wouldn't be mad.
Yeah.
And he's working this out in his head, right? He's working out in his head, the only thing I need to do is make sure the next time it happens, it's under conditions that Edward won't be mad at me for.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, he has to manufacture some sort of situation where he can get what he wants without being threatened by Edward. And he does it.
So
that's
conniving.
What's so upsetting, because it's like, it's here
in
this moment.
He's thinking about it the whole time.
He chooses to assault her again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the moment where it happens. This is the moment where the wheels start turning. Like, this is a planned behavior
mm-hmm.
that he is setting the stage for by making the criteria, you have to ask me
mm-hmm.
to kiss you.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I can't be touched. Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like, he's setting this up for himself. That's so upsetting.
It's also upsetting to me that, I don't know, I don't really mean this, but, like, if mm-hmm. I were Edward and that happened, I'd be like, that doesn't fucking count. I would still beat the shit out of him.
So. Edward's an idiot, so unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not like Edward has these nuances or understands the dynamics of abuse, clearly.
Right, so. And it's like, Bella is also so confused by, like, what she wants to happen, because, like, ultimately, like, I don't think Jacob has to be worried about anything, because I think Jacob could do almost anything to Bella, and she still wouldn't wish him physical harm.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that he's exploiting that fact... that he kind of knows.
Yeah.
Like, if he knew that fully, he would know that there are no repercussions for him, ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's how so many abusive people get away with their actions, because they know that the person that they're hurting isn't going to tell or do anything to try to get them into trouble.
Right.
Or at the very least, they're going to try to avoid situations where they're getting into trouble, so.
Yeah.
Oh, ugh. Absolutely hate it. Him bringing up the battle tomorrow reminds Bella that she feels guilty about asking Edward to stay behind. Mm-hmm. And Jacob misinterprets this change in her facial expression. And she ends up opening up to him about it and, like, telling him, mm-hmm. Edward isn't going to fight tomorrow because I asked him to stay with me because I can't bear the idea of him not coming back.
Mm-hmm. And she feels really guilty about that impacting everyone else.
Yeah. This leads into a conversation about basically, like, Jacob being like, well, you could never talk me out of going to the fight because, like, I want to fight or whatever.
Which I think Bella sees as, like, kind of a fundamental difference between Jacob and Edward.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, yeah, I know. Like, Edward does what I want him to.
And you don't.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
When things really matter to me,
yeah.
I can count on Edward attempting to respect them.
Yeah.
Even if he's going to negotiate and compromise, and those compromises are not super satisfying. Like,
yeah,
at the end of the day, Bella seems to feel like she has more agency with Edward.
Yeah, and, like, also, like, that's her partner, and so it makes sense that, of course, they have that, they do have that more of an obligation to each other to hear each other in that way.
Yeah.
But Jacob is immediately like, well, it doesn't mean anything that you can't talk me out of going. It doesn't mean that Edward loves you more than I do. And it's like, you...
Grasping at fucking straws.
It's like, you sound so silly.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, yeah.
It's embarrassing how desperate he is to, like, try. It's like, how embarrassing is it that, like, I mean, like, unrequited love, whatever. Like, it's embarrassing that with your whole chest, you're trying to convince this girl for years that you can offer something that her boyfriend can't. That's humiliating.
Yeah, the desperation is not a good look.
And so, because he doesn't get a satisfying answer to this, he introduces this new topic of conversation, which is, when are you gonna finally figure out that you're in love with me too?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Can you, the gall.
I hate when he says this, and I hate when other people say this about Bella.
Yeah.
Like, being like, she's in love with both people.
Where? And he says this is interesting, I was thinking about this. He's saying, I'm not saying you don't love him, I'm not stupid, but it's possible to love more than one person at a time, Bella. I've seen it in action. I think he's referring to Sam and Emily mm-hmm. and Leah as if, like, the remaining feelings that Sam still had for Leah when he imprinted on Emily, like, they still existed. However, the whole point was that you can love more than one person at the same time, but one of them is going to be more important. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, one of them is going to be stronger.
I just feel right. like it's a different definition of love, because it's like, for Bella, it's like, love is also about, like, choice.
Yeah.
And for Jacob, it's purely feeling.
Right. I think a lot of people think that love is all about feeling, and especially when you're young and you don't mm-hmm. understand the kind of, like, action component of it.
Yeah.
And that there's, like, a lot of doing mm-hmm. involved. But it's like, well, if I love you, then, like, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that he feels like you can love more than one person at the same time. You love him more than you love me, but you still love me. And, like,
then you should kiss me too.
You should kiss me too, and you should act on those feelings. And, like, I'm okay with this hierarchy. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's interesting that he and Stephanie Meyer are acknowledging that it's possible to love more than one person, mm-hmm. but, like, only in this hierarchical sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, imprinting and, like, vampire mm-hmm. love are always going to take precedent over anything else. So yeah. I don't love that. Nope. Jacob reveals to her he is also staying the night. And she did not know this, and no one has told her this. Who made this decision that Jacob is going to stay with them?
And was Edward aware?
I don't know. I feel like it's really weird that this information has just sprung on her. Seth is going to take over tomorrow during the fight, but for some reason Jacob is the one who is staying.
There's no reason for that.
Yeah. They have a little back and forth about, like, Bella's like, I do want you to not fight tomorrow. Like mm-hmm. I don't want you to fight tomorrow. Like, I do want you to stay, but, like, basically I know that I can't get you to. And so they don't really entertain it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is something that she's interested in, is having Jacob also not fight, but not with any real urgency attached to it.
Yeah.
And they have this alpha conversation.
I'm just like, it's just this, like, you know, this is purely important because of the split that's going to happen in the pack in Breaking Dawn.
Yeah.
And there, it's just a seed planted here, so I guess it's important to say that, like, Jacob was supposed to be the chief because...
This is so fucked up, the way that she writes about this.
Yeah. Because Ephraim Black was the last chief, but now Sam was...
He's the oldest.
The oldest, and he turned first. And, like, Jacob was supposed to be alpha, and the problem is not that Sam didn't step down when Jacob turned. It's that Jacob did not want to step up because he didn't want anything to change. He didn't want to be some legendary chief, didn't want to be part of a pack of werewolves, let alone be their leader, and he wouldn't take it when Sam offered.
He reveals that Sam is actually technically the chief of the whole tribe, and I really don't like Stephanie Meyer's language about this, and she's done this before when having Jacob explain to Bella, like, some of the inner workings of his culture. Jacob does it in a way that's like, oh, it's so stupid.
Dismissive, yeah.
Yeah, and he says, like, he says, it's sort of old-fashioned, why should it matter who your grandpa was? And he also refers to Sam being the chief of the tribe as crazy traditions.
Yeah, and it's like, he fluctuates between these things because we just read a section where he felt really defensive of imprinting, and, like, we had that listener write in to be like, oh, that feels very much like he has to defend his culture because other people are going to think poorly of it. And it's like, he vacillates very wildly between those two extremes of, like, I have to defend this cultural practice that we have of imprinting.
Yeah.
Which I would argue is, like, not a cultural practice.
Right. Yeah.
And then I also can't believe that this is so stupid, like, that our whole setup is so stupid and archaic and just, like,
so
the way
strange.
That people write about indigenous cultures all the time, like, white people write about indigenous cultures all the time as if they're already
irrelevant or outdated or
irrelevant, outdated, primitive. Frozen in time, like, haven't evolved, haven't been impacted by our world in 2022.
Yeah.
Like, it's just exhausting.
It just makes no sense to me that Jacob would be like, it doesn't fucking matter who your grandpa is. Like, I think that actually really does matter.
It does matter. And so, it's like, if you wanted things to change, being the beta is not going to do that.
This is interesting, too, because we're led to believe that, like, this is also set in stone. And yet, Jacob has the, and maybe it's because of that alpha link. I don't know. That's the only way I can think to explain it. But we're supposed to believe that Jacob is able to refuse that. Mm-hmm. And, like, refuse to accept it from Sam, and that Sam is able to be in charge instead. I think it's just interesting that they have a little bit of agency in that, rather than it being automatic, because it seems like there are some very specific things that Sam and Jacob are able to do, such as give commands to the other people. It's weird to me that they were just able to, like, decide. I don't know.
It's weird that this, like, whole, like, you can't say no to a thing that your alpha or beta tells you to do thing doesn't come up as much, because that's, like, a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge.
Yeah, that's a very significant dynamic.
That's a vampire trait also, like, in a lot of vampire media, compulsion, like, being able to tell someone
that's true
what to do. Like, that's a very, like, vampy thing. That is, like, a major plot point in a lot of, like, vampire stuff, that, like, people under the influence of a vampire can be, like, told what to do.
Yeah.
And, like, can't resist. They're, like, compelled to do it.
Bella is kind of, like, impressed that Jacob is, like, important within his culture.
Chief Jacob.
Yeah, she's like, Chief Jacob. She says he was more grown up than I had ever given him credit for because of this, like, title.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but he's not more grown up.
Yeah.
You think he is.
And uses the term majesty. Like, there's a majesty here that I'd never suspected.
Yeah.
It's just another one of those weird comments she makes about age, too. Like, just kind of, like...
Yeah.
And, like, simultaneously, like, trying to infantilize him and also, like...
Sexualizing him by making him older than he is. Yeah.
Anyway,
they get to the campsite. Yeah, Edward's there, literally pacing around. He's very appreciative that Jacob was quicker than expected. And they settle in for the night. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the chapter. Ugh, crazy shit.
Yeah.
To not look at this for a second.
Right.
So let's take a little break to do some of our mini segments, the news, the weather, etc.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's warm in Forks today.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's a high of 79 degrees.
Oh, that's weird.
And sunny. It's, like, super warm. I don't know if that's, like, unseasonably warm for
Washington. It's gotta be.
Washington, but it has to be. It's the first day of October. Like,
yeah.
It should be fall. Like, it's getting down to 45 overnight, but, like, that feels, like, unseasonably very warm and sunny.
The news in Forks from the Forks Forum is an article called Twilight Fans Give Back to Forks.
Oh, God.
This is a very short article. This is about two people from Texas who have spent the summer in Forks.
Give back to Forks?
They give back to the Forks community, and they happen to be Twilight fans, not from the area.
In what way are they giving back to the Forks community?
Let me tell you. Okay. They are Twilight fans, and also they're animal lovers.
Oh,
They have okay. a foundation based on their dog.
Okay.
Their organization raises money for other animal organizations.
Okay.
Like vets' offices, shelters, etc. And they selected the Friends of Forks animals to receive funds from a collectible pin that was sold before and during the recent Forever Twilight and Forks Festival. And they raised over $2,000 for that society.
Hmm.
They wanted to give back to the local Forks community because the Forks community has given so much to them. I just think it's interesting to hear about, like, what Twilight fans do in the area and, like, how they relate to, like, the local town, like, the real town. It's interesting. I don't know. That's nice for them.
Uh-huh. Anyway, completely unrelated topic.
Yeah.
I recently set up a recurring donation to donate to Move to Higher Ground. Cool. If you're looking for a way to give back to the Forks community.
And you want to give back to the people that need it the most?
Yeah. Maybe that is an option. Mm-hmm. It takes it out every month. Same time every month. Can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
Very simple. Don't even have to think about it.
I don't know if we talked about it already on the podcast because I don't remember when this came out, but the Quilly Tribe did post a video, like a walkthrough of the new school, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful.
I don't think we've talked about it, but I saw that.
Yeah. Really cool. So your money is going to a really good place.
Those didn't take as long. Now we have to get back to this book, huh?
We have to do our mini segment.
Oh, right.
It's your turn.
Well, my mini segment, my question for you is, have you ever been camping?
Have I ever been camping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been camping with two people that hate each other? What's the most hostile camping experience you've ever had? In whatever way you'd like to interpret.
Well, I don't know if it's like, here's another way.
Sure.
I have stayed in a tent with 2+ men before.
Yeah. Sure. Condolences. Sounds awful.
Yeah. It had its ups and downs. I used to date a man in college who...
Okay. Strong start.
Who, it's gonna get worse, was in an acapella group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And one time we all slept out in a huge tent together in somebody's backyard. Me and the acapella group, and there was one or two women there who were, like, also dating other people in the group. So it was definitely, like, a chaotic environment. I don't know. I can't really remember if there was, like, any hostility. There was, like, you know, definitely some beef between some of those people, but I wouldn't say it was, like,
hostilities. Openly hostile. Yeah.
There was, like, an interesting vibe where, like, one of the women that was staying with us was, like, she and one of the guys were, like, they were not dating yet, but, like, they were, like, clearly, like, into each other. They had, like, this huge on and off again relationship eventually.
Do I know these people by any chance?
This is...
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't dating at the time, but they put their sleeping bags next to each other and spent the night, like, being all canoodling.
Yeah.
But, like, in a way that, like, I don't know if it was supposed to be not obvious to everyone else.
Right.
I don't know. So that's, like, the most that I can relate to this upcoming situation.
Very fun.
Yeah.
My other options were, have you ever been on a really long hike?
Yes.
Have you ever been sexually assaulted? Which was the ultimate unchill option.
I mean, crazy.
Imagine.
Take back the night. Gender 14
right now.
Edition. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
All right.
Okay. Here we are.
Okay.
Chapter 22. What's it called?
Fire and Ice.
Like Game of Thrones?
Yep. Cool. That would be Ice and Fire.
Yeah,
totally,
you're right.
Different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally different.
First question I have. This is the tent scene.
Yeah.
We are starting. Bella is fucking cold.
Miserable.
Miserable. How cold is it?
I mean, with the wind chill?
Yeah.
It just... Dangerously cold.
It feels...
Like, you should never camp in these conditions, probably unless you have, like, really, really good gear.
This feels like a situation where, like, Edward forgot that Bella's a human. Like, yeah, they're grabbing the, like, winter coat, and I'm like...
You need base layers. You need
yeah.
a jacket that costs $700
yeah.
because it's so nice. Yeah.
Like, this is not gonna...
Yeah, it's funny because Jacob brought a jacket, and we didn't talk about it, but there was a part where he was, like, he brought that jacket for Bella in case, like, mm-hmm. someone forgot to bring her a jacket, because mm-hmm. he knows how often...
They fuck up on human stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bella's freezing.
It's really bad. So she's in the tent with Edward, and Edward is, like, as far away from her in the tent as he can get, because he's worried to even make her even an ounce colder. Mm-hmm.
Jacob comes in, brings the coat. After being a little snippy, because Edward says, go fetch a space heater, he says, I'm not a Saint Bernard. That's funny. He comes in and he's like, look, the coat is frozen and she's not going to be able to warm it up, which is true. And I think yeah. something people forget about is that, like, if you get into a cold bed and you aren't warm enough to warm up the bed yourself, you're not going to get warmer.
Yeah.
Like, you need heat to create other heat.
Whatever. It is just so wild to me that after this whole chapter about Bella telling Jacob that she considers what happened to be an assault, that it's like, aha, I know what we should do. We should give them a huddling for warmth / one bed trope.
Exactly.
Are you kidding
Team Jacob didn't need this.
No.
No one you all didn't this. Deserve it.
Yeah. revoking those rights.
And it's just like, if this is what needs to happen... Like, if somebody needs to physically warm Bella up,
yeah.
get Jacob to run and go get another guy.
Literally.
Get Leah. You know, if it's, like, too awkward for, like, the boys in, like, this, you know, heterosexual world that Stephenie Meyer has created.
Yeah.
Like, if it's too awkward, go get Leah.
Yeah.
Like, get somebody to warm her up.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be Jacob.
Yeah. Absolutely not. But Jacob is, like... I'm 108.9. So he just starts getting into her sleeping bag.
Yeah, this is not a conversation.
And it's not something that Edward tells him to do. It's not something that Bella asks for. It's mm-hmm. actually something that Edward tries to stop him from doing mm-hmm. and that Bella tries to protest. Mm-hmm. And actually when Edward actually, like, shoots his hand out to, like, physically stop yeah, him from doing says, it.
Keep your hands off her.
And Bella describes this as Snow White against dark skin. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, literally. It's horrible. So. Jacob keeps, like, saying, like, the worst case scenario to, like, basically, like, weasel his way into being able to, like, lay with her in the sleeping bag. He keeps being like, well, when her toes turn black and drop off, and I guess you don't like having 10 toes, and just, like, saying all these, like, little things yeah. to, like, make them take it... like, seriously as an offer, and it's just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
He also doesn't need to be in the sleeping bag with
like,
her.
She doesn't have to be warm. Hot take. She doesn't have yeah. to be warm.
She just needs to survive.
She just has to survive, and, like, maybe she could even be comfortable without having to, like...
He doesn't have to get in the sleeping bag.
Like, if him getting in the sleeping bag brought her up to a survivable temperature,
yeah.
like, she could then maintain that.
Yes. He could also stay outside of the sleeping bag, and mm-hmm. he's warm enough that I think he could warm it up from the outside.
Yeah. He could literally, like, be like a hen on an egg.
Yeah, he could sit on her or yeah. something.
Yeah.
He could just simply, like, hold her toes
mm-hmm.
or something. God forbid, but, like...
God forbid, yeah.
He could, like,
God
I would forbid. Prefer that.
Quentin Tarantino's Eclipse.
No.
And he even goes so far.
The audacity
to say, of course you'd warm up faster if you took your clothes off.
Hush. That's hush.
So nasty.
Disgusting.
It's just like, haha, you took a shower without me?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Like, I'm sorry. Are you a sixth grade boy?
Yeah. So disgusting. I mean, he's really milking this for all it's worth. Like, he's getting the most that he can get out of it without any
he's getting
regard for her.
Pleasure out of this.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's not just satisfaction. He's getting, like, he's enjoying this so much. And
he's like, don't worry about the bloodsucker. He's just jealous. And mm-hmm. Edward's like, yeah, of course yeah. I am. Like, Edward's not afraid to admit how this makes him feel, like, and, like, doesn't allow Jacob to, like, have a hold over him.
Yeah.
Which is great, because that would be really unhelpful.
Mm-hmm. This is a really good test of, like, Edward's new approach to life.
Yeah.
Like, Edward's relaxed, chill boy approach
era.
To life.
Yeah.
But he does call him mongrel.
Yeah.
So, Doc points for that.
Yeah.
100%.
And Jacob concedes to him and says, well, at least you know she wishes it was you. And he's like, it's true. Bella starts to feel warmer. And Jacob takes it even farther. He says, yep. Your lips are still blue. You want me to warm those up for you, too? You only have to ask.
Setting the stage again.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And I'm not having a good time.
She, like, is addressing her extremities by, like, pushing her, taking her boots off and, like, pushing her toes against his legs. And he is grabbing her ears and his fingers to warm them up, which I think is wild.
I mean, she's so cold that he is having a reaction to her touching him. Like, he's cringing away from how cold she is. So she's mm-hmm. really fucking cold.
She's having muscle spasms. She's
yes.
so cold.
She's chattering so much that mm-hmm. her, like, she is worried that she might, like, break her teeth.
Yeah. This gives, like, this is just, like, a fun little... first of all, the first time I watched this movie with my partner's younger brother, mm-hmm. I have never seen someone have such pure surprise and joy at a scene in a movie mm-hmm. as when he realized that Edward was getting cucked.
Yeah.
In this tent.
Yeah.
And he laughed so hard that I have tried to watch this movie with him so many other times just because I've literally watched it with him like 3 times now. He lives in Alabama, so like he's very far away.
Yeah.
And I just look forward to marathoning this series with him to watch this scene with him because he just laughs just like this very pure, joyous laugh.
Yeah.
At this scenario.
Yeah. It's objectively humorous.
Objectively humorous, but in reading it.
And reading it is horrifying.
It's like, in context, when you think about what's happened, what's going to happen.
It's, yeah.
It's like,
I can't really enjoy
movie.
It. It's hard. I was really, I was generally, like, feeling kind of disappointed by this section, because, like, I want to be able to be, like, reading into, like, the homoerotic subtext of it. But it's just, like, it is such subtext buried underneath the strong masculine, toxic masculine mm-hmm. energy that is coming in. It's so hard.
Yeah, they do have this, like, exchange that I think is, like, somewhat enjoyable at Jacob's
sure.
expense.
Yeah.
That Bella's like, why are you so much furrier than your friends?
It's so random that she asks him that now.
Yeah.
It's such a setup for him to, like, continue flirting with her.
And he says, because my hair's longer. And then she's
great
like,
question,
well,
Bella.
Why don't you cut it? Or do you like to be shaggy? Edward laughs.
Yeah, this is so funny for Edward reading. Yeah, being
and
able
he
to
says,
understand everything. Yeah.
Oh, he'll tell you anyway, so I might as well. I was growing out my hair because it seemed like you liked it better long. It's embarrassing that he's structuring his life around
it's
her.
It's so embarrassing. Like, you have to get over it. And Bella's like, don't do that. It doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah.
She starts to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And as if this would help her.
Yeah.
He says, that's right, honey, go to sleep. Oh my God. Like, ew.
Yeah.
Like, why would he say that?
And then Seth gets there and is just standing outside, keeping
put
watch
him
or whatever.
Put him in, coach.
Put him in. Tap him in. Let Seth get in there. Like, Seth would do it if it's medically necessary.
Yes.
As we're like assuming it is here.
Yeah.
Tap him in. Oh my God. Make it a sandwich. Even.
Is the tent small enough that you think, do we think the tent is small enough that Jacob can't be in wolf form and fit inside the tent? Because, like, why couldn't he just do that?
That's so true. I've never thought about that.
I don't know.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
Bella's like kind of dozing and she's now too tired to
it's like 2 a.m.
interact anymore, but she is going to overhear this full conversation that starts out with Edward being like, control your thoughts.
Yeah.
Don't fantasize about my girlfriend while I'm right here. It's like you're shouting them into my brain.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, ooh. I could have done without Bella being aware of that information.
I was literally, that's what I was like.
Can you keep your thoughts to yourself, Edward?
Can you, like, if this is a necessary thing, now Bella's laying here like, oh, great, the person that assaulted me is fantasizing again, like, about me while holding me.
Yeah.
And then they have these, like, weird exchanges where, like, Jacob's not necessarily vocalizing questions, but, mm-hmm. like, so, like, Bella's only hearing Edward's answers.
And it starts by being completely about sex. I'm surprised that Edward is even having this conversation with Jacob.
I can't believe Edward's entertaining the thought of talking about sex with another person.
Yeah.
Let alone Jacob. It seems like it's pulling teeth to get him to talk about it with Bella.
Yeah. So, essentially, through their weird little exchange, it's implied that Jacob is thinking something to the effect of...
Well, you can't fuck her, yeah. can you?
And, but I could.
Yeah.
And you're probably jealous of that. And Jacob starts being like, you know, she could still change her mind, considering all the things that I could do with her that you can't, namely sex. Bella, from this moment on, like, obviously this is happening, mm-hmm. but for Bella, she's, like, in this, in such a state, yeah, that it's dreamlike to her, mm-hmm. which I think is meant to play into, like, how unusual it is that this conversation's even happening.
Right.
They decide that they're going to talk more, like, mm-hmm. Jacob wants to get inside of Edward's brain, because Edward's always inside of his brain.
Yeah, and so Edward says, I'll probably answer your questions for you if you want me to. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of do, like, this little Q&A session together.
Q&A with Edward and Jacob.
Jacob first asks about jealousy. Like, you can't be as sure of yourself as you seem. Like, is it really... It's got to be really hard for you.
That really, like, shows Jacob's perspective, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Jacob's like, how can you concentrate when she's not there with you?
Stupid question.
Edward says, my mind doesn't work the same as yours. I can think of a lot more things at once.
This is so patronizing.
Which, of course, means that I'm always able to think of you and wonder if that's where her mind is when she's being quiet. And
I'm always able to think of you.
I'm always thinking of you is a very gay thing to say.
I'm always thinking of you.
But I love it. That, like, makes me just, like, wonder, like, what other things is he always thinking about? Like,
yeah.
Is he always, like, thinking about, like, the French Revolution? Like, is he always, like, if he can think about so many things.
You can have a special interest and that never leaves your brain.
Yeah. 100% of the time.
They're quiet again, so Jacob's not verbalizing anything. But Edward says, yes, I would guess that she thinks of you often. And I'm like, don't share Bella's feelings or thoughts.
Yeah.
Right now.
Like, don't even suppose to... Like,
you can answer questions about yourself, but you can't answer mm-hmm. questions about Bella. What the fuck? Anyway, they talk about her the whole time, so I'm going to let that one go. Like, he goes so far as to be like, oh, like, she worries that you're unhappy, not that you don't know that, and not that you don't use that. And Jacob says, I have to use whatever I can. And then they start having this conversation about, like, Jacob being like, she's in love with me too, you know, but she just doesn't know it.
Yeah.
And Edward's like, I don't fucking know if that's true, so.
And then Jacob's like, well, do you wish that you could see what she's thinking? And Edward's like, yeah, and also no, like, she likes it better this way. I'm just happy that she's happy. And, like, I think it's genuinely confusing to Jacob, because Edward says this across the entire section a lot of different ways. Like, what I want, because I love Bella, is mm-hmm. that she is happy and that, like, she comes first. And genuinely, like, the fact that he has to keep saying that and, like, keep affirming that is, like, proof that Jacob doesn't feel that way.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Because it's not about Bella. It's mm-hmm. about Renesmee. About keeping Renesmee safe. Protecting Renesmee at all costs.
Jacob should be the number one Bella and Edward shipper.
He really should.
He should be, like, just absolutely, like, pushing them together.
You know when, what's an example? Bisexual people shipping a straight couple and being in love with both of them. That's what's happening. A straight couple meaning a man and a woman.
Yeah.
In this scenario. The implications. Edward expresses gratitude for Jacob being there, you know, to keep her warm mm-hmm. and to do what he can. And Jacob's like, I knew you were just as crazy jealous as I am. And Edward says something that I think is quite astute. He says, I'm not such a fool to wear it on my sleeve like you do. It doesn't help your case, you know. Which I very much agree with.
Yeah. And he says, like, Jacob is like, well, when did you decide to be the patient good guy? And
it's so true.
Edward's like, it's hurting her to make her choose between us. Like, I don't want to hurt her. Again, like, reaffirming this, like, I can smother these feelings that I have about you for most of the time so that she doesn't see how angry I am and jealous I am, but, like, it makes it easier on her to not be like that.
I really feel like the purpose of this section is less about Edward and Jacob, like, meaningfully connecting with each other and more about us as the reader getting an insight into how Edward feels.
Yeah.
It really feels like...
I think it sets a fundamental difference between the way that the two of them are approaching trying to either be with Bella or maintain a positive relationship with Bella.
Yeah. A lot of this is Jacob is, like... even saying things like, well, you know, like, she might choose me. Mm-hmm. And, like, maybe you're just worried that if you force her to choose, she might not choose you. And Edward's like, not really anymore.
He's like, I'm taking her at her word that, like, she wants to be with me. And, like, I just accepted that, like, she was going to hurt herself if she tried to sneak away to see you all the time. And, like, I don't need to drive her to do these extreme things. Like, it's safe for her to kind of be with you, more or less.
But Jacob's really fixated on this idea of Bella changing her mind. And, like, that really drives the conversation.
Yeah.
And he's like, if she did change her mind, like, would you try to kill me? And Edward's like, no, because I'm not going to hurt her in that way. Even if I think it's an intriguing idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jacob starts to ask Edward about what it was like to lose Bella.
He distinguishes the two times that he thought, like, the first one being when he left. The second time being when he thought she was dead. Mm-hmm. And he has no words for that.
Yeah.
Edward's giving Jacob so much information
about,
like, all of the ways that they have, like, worked through and tried to, like, reconcile what Bella wants out of this relationship and what Edward wants out of this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Jacob doesn't need to be privy to this information.
No.
But, like, they walk through, like, here's all the options.
Yeah, I think, and when I read this, I was like, oh, like, this is for us.
Yeah.
To have Edward's perspective.
Which, like, this is basically Midnight Sun in Eclipse.
It really is.
Because we didn't have Midnight Sun when Eclipse came out, and so we didn't have this in-depth, but, like, reading this as, like, someone who has read Midnight Sun, I'm like, duh.
Yeah, I'm like, we already knew this.
Yeah, we've got this.
But at the time, we totally didn't. And, I think for that reason, this probably, especially if you don't have Midnight Sun, like, this would feel really valuable to get Edward's, like, unadulterated insight onto how he has made this decision about how he's going to be with Bella. So he walks Jacob through, like, four possibilities for him and Bella, being she doesn't feel as strongly.
And moves on.
Moves on. Second alternative being staying with her throughout her human life and keeping her human. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't work. And then option three being leaving her and forcing her to into the first alternative. And that didn't work. And then he's like, what do I have left but this fourth option? It's what she wants, at least she thinks she does. I've been trying to delay her, to give her time to find a reason to change her mind. But she's very stubborn, you know that. I'll be lucky to stretch this out a few more months. Jacob says, you know exactly how much I hate to accept this, but I can see that you do love her in your way. I can't argue with that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it was never for you to really argue.
And it's funny that the two of them are, like, having this conversation, and it's, like, it's that classic, like, negotiation of, like, you don't take the girl seriously, you take the fact that she has the boyfriend seriously.
Right.
Like, the only thing that is stopping Jacob, like, imagine Edward and Bella, like, Edward doesn't fucking exist, and Bella's being relentlessly pursued by Jacob.
Yeah.
And there's no one there.
He's never listened to Bella like this.
Never. Never.
And that's embarrassing.
Yeah. He, like, doesn't respect her enough to have a... Like, he doesn't respect her enough to set the stage, to have a relationship,
mm-hmm.
to have the context where it's safe enough to have a conversation where she can be honest fully about what she does and what she doesn't want.
Yeah. Because Jacob is so determined to not like Edward for valid reasons, partially. Like, he's able to say, like, things like agree to disagree, or, like, mm-hmm. I can see your side and not feel the need to take it. But he never is that way with Bella.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, and that's interesting, too. Like, I feel like they, like, this is such an example of, yes, them being patronizing and, like, talking about her when she's not there and making, even, like, entertaining decisions that she's not going to make.
Yeah.
Being, like, he literally at the end of this page, 501, he's, like, give me a year. Like, give her to me. Like, let me have a shot.
Yeah.
Like,
as if that's not her call. And that's the thing. Like, the thing is, at the end of the day, like, Edward is like, that's Bella's decision.
Yeah.
Great. I'm not going to force her into making any other decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's her choice now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I've been stupid enough to make the same mistake I made before. I'm not forcing her into the first option again. As long as she wants me, I'm here. And Jacob is like, challenges that and is like, and if she were to decide that she wanted me, and he says, I would let her go. And I think this is the crux. Like, the crux is, like, it's irresponsible for them to be having this conversation. Like, yeah. The fact that Edward's participating in it at all, like, makes me, like, a little, like, eh. But, like, the fundamental difference is that Edward has decided, within the last 6 months, to respect Bella's decisions.
Within the last 6 weeks. Within the last 3 weeks,
I would say. And that is why he's always going to be the better option.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really solidified it for himself there.
Yeah.
Whereas before, where Jacob was the one who offered her a little bit more agency, like, that felt really important to honor. And that's gone. He's ruined that by forcing her.
Yep. Unfortunately, Renesmee watch. Jacob, you might leave her someday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sam and Emily, you wouldn't have a choice. Renesmee watch. Jacob is going to imprint.
It's funny that he doesn't think about this.
No.
He's like, I'm not going to imprint, which is so weird.
It just feels like if I knew that it was possible for me to experience this ultimate form of love, I feel like I wouldn't want to settle for not imprinting on someone.
Yeah, it makes no sense for him to be this fixated, but of course he is this fixated because of
the imprinting.
Yeah, which is just awful. I don't envy any of them this situation. Edward is saying to Jacob again, like, I'm feeling oddly grateful for your presence in her life tonight. It's the least I could do. You know, Jacob, if it weren't for the fact that we're natural enemies and you're also trying to steal away the reason for my existence, I might actually like you. And Jacob concedes, like, if you weren't a disgusting vampire who was planning to suck the life out of the girl I love. Well, no, not even then. And Edward laughs at that. The way that they're having this conversation, the fact that they're having this conversation, the fact that they take each other seriously as men is just so inherently queer to me.
Yeah.
There's such a queer way to read this. And, like, we don't really ever get more than this that I can remember.
Funny that she did that, too. Because it's, like, she obviously didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, funny that happened.
Love triangles are inherently queer. I mean, this is such a good example of, like, they are using their love. Like, you could argue, and I'm not saying that this is actually what's happening, but you could argue that they're using their love attraction to Bella as an excuse to be close to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're painting it as hatred and that they can't stand each other, when really that same tension could spill over to something romantic or sexual. So just a thought, they want each other carnally.
The last thing that happens, really, they want each other carnally.
I've said it before and I'll say it again, they want each other carnally.
So everyone's clear, the last thing that happens here, Edward asks Jacob a question, and Jacob's like, why would you have to ask me a question?
Yeah.
And Edward's like, I can only hear what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I have to ask it in order for the answer to come out. And asks about the story of the third wife.
Mm-hmm.
And hears the story in Jacob's head and then hisses. And it's also helpful for me to now reimagine this entire conversation taking place in the dark.
Yeah. Total darkness.
Complete darkness.
Yeah. That's so true.
Because in the movie, obviously, it's lit because we have to see their faces, but it's actually happening in complete darkness, like in a slumber party when you're just, like, disembodied voices. Like, like
sleeping bags and all.
Yeah. And Edward is like, ugh, I wish your elders had kept that story to themselves. And Jacob.
That was wild of him to say.
Yeah. Jacob is like, you don't like the leeches being painted as the bad guys, do you? You know, they are, then and now. And it's like, yeah, go off.
True. Yeah.
Like, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Edward's like, I don't give a shit.
Which is bold.
Can you just tell me what character you think Bella would identify in that story? And Jacob's like, oh, she's gonna try to sacrifice herself.
Yeah.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. Oops.
Oopsie.
Uh-oh.
I think it's interesting that Edward reveals here that that was the secondary reason for my staying with her tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, he needs to watch out for her so she doesn't do something that endangers herself or somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob asks Edward, and when does this little truce end? First light, or do we wait till after the fight? And then they both think about it for a second, and they both whisper together, first light. just kiss each other. Like, oh my god.
So they so laugh. Funny.
They're like, haha, we want to kill each other.
Yeah.
If you can laugh about it, maybe just kiss. Just see how it is. Just enemies to lovers.
Give it a shot.
I know what I'm saying is problematic, and I want to ensure that I know that they should also not be together.
No, but also,
but like, it would be better than
Jacob and
Bella. Jacob and Bella.
Yeah. Edward's like, okay, good night. Enjoy your moment. Jacob like gets gross again.
Yeah.
At the very end here, and it's not played as if he's getting like gross again.
It's supposed to be like,
it's
ha-ha.
Supposed to be funny, like a funny, like chill way to end the chapter. But he's like, you could leave and give us a little privacy.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. And then Edward has to like hum to himself, like louder than he usually would, trying to like drown out Jacob's thoughts, which is so unfortunate.
Yeah.
For Bella to have to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bella like ends the narration by saying she like actually falls asleep, slipping into dreams that made better sense.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. What a fucking marathon to get through.
Yeah.
It's just, I was saying in the beginning of this episode, like, it's hard when Bella's not there to enjoy the conversations because she's, like, nobody respects her enough to, like, have a conversation that doesn't feel really icky.
Yeah.
When she's not there.
Yeah. You have to respect people even when they're not in the room with you.
Hot take. It's like, Edward should not have engaged in any conversation about Bella.
Yeah.
And, like, what Bella wants and, like, Bella's future with mm-hmm. Jacob.
Because he's just gonna use this against her.
Yeah.
So, Edward just gave him a bunch of ammo.
Yep.
Really. And, yes, there's maybe a little bit more of an understanding between Jacob and Edward, at least directionally.
But I don't think it's gonna functionally change anything. No. Like, things are gonna get a lot worse before they get any better.
And yeah.
They're gonna get bad again forever.
Yeah. I've said this before, but, like, it doesn't really, like, it would have been great for Edward and Jacob to try to respect each other before Jacob kissed her, but all of that, any type of mutual respect they're trying to gain has happened after, and I'm like, why? We don't need that.
Right.
Hate that.
Hate that. But it's over.
It's over. God.
Oh, God. Who knows what we're gonna have to read next time?
We're coming up on the battle's gonna happen. We get to see Victoria.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That'll be nice.
And, I mean, presumably the whole family's gonna be there. Whole gang's gonna be in action. So maybe we'll get some characters we haven't seen in a while. This story's been a lot of Bella and Edward and Jacob.
Yep.
Too much.
So we're gonna get some... Actually, we're gonna get pretty much everybody else who's in the story so far.
Yeah.
Including the Volturi. Mm-hmm. Some of the Volturi. Mm-hmm. So.
We'll see.
Hope you enjoyed.
Hope you had a great time.
Yeah.
That's all, forks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Gender Forking, a Twilight Saga podcast. All seasons are now streaming anywhere podcasts can be found.
To stay updated about the podcast, follow us on Instagram at genderforking. For more Twilight content from us, follow us at bowlingshirebellas.tumblr.com.
With questions, comments, and any other inquiries, please email us at bowlingshirebellas@gmail.com. If you like what you hear and want to support the upkeep and production of our podcast, visit patreon.com/genderforking.
The music you are hearing is from O. Lucifer.